I consider that history is not written just because, and even less every word that is in the Bible, someone said. In the Bible are the words of God. I differ from that a little bit. I rather think that in the Bible is the word of God. That is, everything that is written there comes from God and is inspired by God. And every word that has been inspired by God has been dedicated for those whose heart are open. Receive it and let it touch them inside, so that they can have the design, the plan that God determined for their lives. Friend, behind this marvellous work of the heavens and of the earth, behind every work in a living being, starting from its DNA, where all its genetic information is, there must be a purpose designed and defined by a creator, someone who designed all that is wonderful, and that is God. So I want you to join me, because there is one of these many stories that are written there. I invite you to read for a moment and meditate to understand why it was written and how to apply it to our daily lives and what God wants to teach us today. Join me in the book of Mark, chapter 2. Look what it says. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, immediately the word spread that he had returned home. Soon the house where he was staying was so full of visitors that there was no room, even in front of the door. While he preached the word of God to them, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. As they could not carry him to Jesus because of the crowd, they cut a hole in the roof above where Jesus was. Then they lowered the man on the stretcher right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, look what it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." It doesn't end there, but I want to stop there so that we begin to look at this story. There are certain interesting words there, and they appear in the middle of the story. Some interesting people. Now, the Bible doesn't mention their names. The only name mentioned there is that of Jesus. And the importance of this is to recognize that the reason to what took place in that house. In that place, it was Jesus. And the need that was in the person brought by the four friends, or maybe family members. Jesus is in the house sitting, and tonight he's going to share an interesting word. So the house opens and people begin to arrive, and they all sit in the room listening to Jesus. Not a needle fits. Indeed, even outside the door, there are people standing and listening. They all want to hear what Jesus had to say. They had done their thing, which was to get to that place, to sit and to listen. But there are others who are willing to do something more. And believe me, these move the heart of God. There were four men carrying one more. They carried him on a stretcher because this man was paralyzed. If it were up to him, he would never have been able to get to Jesus. But he found four people of faith who took him to that place. It is very important to know who we are surrounding ourselves with, because sometimes we're going to feel a little weak in faith. We need to be surrounded by people who will put us on a stretcher and bring us closer to Jesus. You see that the story is not written just because. This makes me ask the question, who am I surrounding myself with in my life's journey? Am I surrounding myself with the right people? Now, who are the right people? Are those who are going to help you achieve God's plan for your life? Are those people who add and not subtract? Are those who are not only going to cry with you, but who are going to give an extra effort so that you can move forward? That is the true love, my friend. Who are you surrounding yourself with is interesting. Let us say this boy couldn't walk. He had this disease, and this disease was an obstacle for him to see Jesus. All those who were listening were complete, but this man, the disease he had, was his opportunity to be face to face with Jesus. Sometimes we can complain about what we are living, but what we are living today could be our opportunity to be face to face with Jesus. Maybe that's the position you should take today. Now, what did this boy need to be face to face with Jesus to get to that place? Could he get there alone? No. You need to surround yourself with the right people who will lead you to Jesus. Look, the project is important, of course it is. developing it is very important. But before the project, there is Jesus. God is the first thing in all things. So the first thing you need to get to is God. And you need to surround yourself with the right people who will help you get to God. People who will add to your spiritual life and not subtract from it. Who will make you grow. Who will take you a step further in what God wants for your life and not make you go backwards or slow you down. You're going to find people who will take you to a dance. You're going to find people who will take you to drugs or alcohol or those worldly pleasures. You're going to find many. But you're going to have to look for those who are really going to bring you closer to God. And that is important. This boy had four friends who were willing to carry an extra weight and make an extra sacrifice for love. Not so that he would go to a dance, not so that he would have one more drink, but for him to meet Jesus. They knew if he was face to face with Jesus, his life would no longer be the same. Now, you are one of those who needs to surround someone to meet Jesus. What are you doing being unfocused when you need to be salt and light? There is one who is waiting to be surrounded, to be lifted up on his stretcher and brought closer to Jesus. So the first thing is to be close to Jesus. And to do that, maybe you need to surround yourself with the right people. Don't give up on the first obstacle that comes your way. What was these four men's first obstacle? The place was full. Others might think, the place is full. We'd better come early tomorrow and queue up. They were determined. Determination is very important. Are you determined for what God has in your life? When a person is determined, it is because they know where they are going. They have a clear vision and they cannot wait in the good sense of the word. They could take this as an excuse, but they didn't. So they didn't give up. They began to study the possibilities. They knew that every minute that passed was a minute less of opportunity. Think about it. Think about it today. This is important. You hide behind the excuse, tomorrow I will do it. Or do you say, today is the day the Lord has prepared for me, and I will make the most of it. There are many people in front of them. They look up and they realize there is no one on the roof. Now going on up onto the roof implies effort, dedication and risk, because if you damage the roof, you would have to pay for it. But how much are you willing to invest to have an encounter with Jesus? I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about time. I'm talking about true repentance, being willing to let go of what is not right so that God can straighten your steps. That's important. So they were willing to do everything. Everything or nothing. They climbed up onto the roof and on the side they opened the rafters and saw that Jesus was sitting there. They were not satisfied with just looking for a space inside. They wanted him to be face to face with Jesus. So they lowered this man through the roof on his stretcher and they placed him face to face with Jesus. I am struck by the following words. Seeing their faith. Faith can be seen. Jesus saw their faith now. Faith is not so much to do with believing, but with faithfulness. The word faith comes from the word faithfulness, so it is the root of the word. God saw their faithfulness, and what was their faithfulness that Jesus saw in them? The desire to be there, the abiding, the determination, the works, the love that came out of them so that this man could receive his healing, so that this man could be in front of Jesus. It says, after seeing their faith. That means you need faith. You need to be faithful. What does that mean to me? It's not about putting down the stretcher and waiting for the miracle and then leaving. When your life is changed in Christ, you must abide in Christ. When God gives you salvation, he does not take it away. It is up to you. Do not run the risk of losing it through temptation or by going back to what you had to leave behind. Old things have passed away, friends. All things are made new in Christ Jesus. Is God seeing faith in you? There is a biblical text that Jesus himself said, when the Son of Man returns to this earth, will he find faith on earth. Will he find faithfulness? Will he find faithful men and women? Will he find people who are faithful? Not only that they are physically there, but they are doing what God commanded them to do, and that they have remained faithful to God above all circumstances, to love God above all things. Will Jesus find faithful people when he returns? Jesus saw their faithfulness. Jesus saw their faith. What faith is Jesus seeing in you? And it is not just whether you believe or don't believe. Faithfulness corresponds to permanence, to doing what we are commanded to do, to being obedient out of love for God. That is faithfulness. And upon seeing their faithfulness, their faith, he said to him, "My son, your sins are forgiven." There will never be true spiritual and physical healing if at first our sins are not forgiven. The story is there and it is simple. Don't just look for the miracle, look for the forgiveness of your sins. And please don't come and say, "I am a sinner, but I behave well." You can name and have many arguments of the good things you do, the good quotes, because for you they are good. But don't admit the bad. Don't admit that you are a liar. Don't admit that you have bad thoughts. You have pride, you are envious, etc., etc. To say we are sinners, to recognize and to be forgiven and forgiven again and again and again, and to acknowledge that we are sinners and to stand before Jesus. Faithfulness leads us to first recognize our need, that we are sinners and we need his forgiveness. So the first thing Jesus did is he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And I believe that was all Jesus had to say to him. This boy would have been justified. There would have been no physical healing yet, but the healing had already begun in his heart. We believe many things in our public life that we are not healed internally. And we need to be healed internally first, because if our being is well, our doing will be well also. Some were questioning if Jesus could forgive sins or not. He simply said to them, "So that you know that I have the authority to forgive sins, son, get up, take up your bed and walk." And as a result of that came physical healing. But this man had an encounter with the Lord. Today we should look and take the roof off. Take the roof off if there is an opportunity. If there is another way, look for it. But it is up to you how far we are willing to go for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. In this prayer, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you touch each heart, and that each word that I have pronounced today, which are your words, each one will understand and receive what they need to understand and receive for their lives today, and that they can reach that encounter with you. They can return to you, Lord, because separated from you, we can do nothing. Thank you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. Today I have spoken to you the words of your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember that God always comes just in time. I want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Devotionals Just in Time. Subscribe, and if you're on Instagram, look for Pastor Elias HC. Blessings.